Well, actually, Oliver, I'll do the quick intro first, and then I'll cue you.
Yeah, sure.
Sounds good. All right, so hello, welcome to this week's W3C CCG meeting. So this week, we are very glad to have Oliver here to present and lead a discussion on OpenID for verifiable credentials and verifiable presentations. So before we get to the main agenda, just want to do a quick reminder on code of ethics and professional conduct. Just want to make sure that, you know, we acknowledge and respect each other's perspectives. Feel free to make any comments and things like that, but as long as, you know, you keep in mind of the code of ethics. All right. A quick IP note, anyone can participate in these calls. However, all substantive contributions to any CCG work items must be members of the CCG with full IPR agreement signed. Make sure you have a W3C account, and if you have any problems or encounter any issues in regards to sign up to a W3C account or the mailing list, just let any of the co-chairs know. These meetings are being recorded, and it's automatically transcribed. We do try to publish these meeting minutes within a day or two, but if you need it a little bit sooner, just let any of us know. We use GC Chat to queue speakers during the call, so you can type in Q plus to add yourself to the queue or Q minus to remove. All right, any introductions or reintroductions? If you are new to the community, or if you haven't been active and want to re-engage with the community, please feel free to just unmute and introduce yourself.
Okay, I'll do a quick introduction. My name is Ben. I'm from Transmute, and I'm glad to be on the call today.
Hello, Ben. All right, anyone else? Feel free to unmute.
Yes, let me introduce myself. I'm Xavier Acila from OneEgg Tech and currently based in Barcelona, Spain. Very happy to be here.
Welcome, welcome. All right, anyone else? All right, announcements or reminders. If you have any announcements or any reminders, feel free to just add yourself to the queue or unmute. Ikano?
Hi, everyone. Yes, it's Erica. I just wanted to give a friendly reminder that Rebooting the Web of Trust is coming up September 18th through the 22nd in Cologne, Germany. I will put a link to the Eventbrite in the chat. All are welcome, and there are scholarships and sponsorships available as well. Thanks. That's all.
Thank you, Erica. Kalia.
Hi. Also, friendly reminder that we've got the Internet Identity Workshop coming up October 10 through 12 in Mountain View, California. And we also have sponsorships available. I'm going to put a link in the chat so folks who don't know about how affordable sponsorship is can learn more about it. We still have quite a few slots available, and it's a key component of helping the event run. So I'll put a link to the main website and also that sponsorship document for folks to look at. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Clea. Any other announcements or reminders? All right, a quick preview of what's coming. So next week, we'll have Ori, Mike, Parak, and others to kind of give a update on the traceability. And then after that, we have machine identity in federated systems. So Justin Reacher will talk about that. And then after that, we'll talk about FIDO2 and WebAuthn. And then September 26th, we'll have selected disclosures for data integrity. So Melanie will lead the discussion on that. All right. Any other announcements or reminders?
Harrison, just confirming the traceability status update's happening next week.
Yes.
Okay. I think I have my dates wrong. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. No, thank you. And again, sorry for the confusion in regards to the scheduling and things like that. So thanks. Thanks, Ori. All right. Any updates or comments on the work items? Okay. Well, let's get to the main agenda. So this week, as mentioned earlier, we're very glad to have Oliver taking the time to present and lead the discussions on OpenID for verifiable credentials and verifiable presentation. So thank you, Oliver, for taking the time to present here, and the floor is yours. Oliver, I think you're on mute.
Right, sorry. Give me 1 second. I just tried to solve a technical issue here.
No worries.
I think it's fine.
If you don't mind, can you introduce yourself a little bit, and then we can get into the presentation. Thanks.
Yeah, sure. So hello, everybody. My name is Oliver Terbo. I'm Director of Identity Standards at SproseID or Sprose Systems, Inc. I'm a member of W3C, DRF, OpenID Foundation, IETF. So I do standards work in across different standards organizations. I'm one of the editors of the OpenID for verifiable credentials specifications. And I'm glad that I can present this to the CCG audience. I believe Christina is also on this call, who is one of the main drivers or the main driver behind the OpenID for VC spec family as well. So I guess I can get started. So I think everybody here on this call is probably familiar with the issuer holder verifier model. Issuer issues credentials to a holder, and the holder can present those credentials to verifiers. I think I don't really need to speak to that. But why is OpenID Connect and OAuth2 actually a good basis for this issuer verifier holder model? So first of all, the self-issued OpenID Connect provider specification has been always in OpenID Connect core. That's what we call referred to as PSYOP version 1. And was there from the ratification of OpenID Connect core. And so it provides a good starting point for this. And OpenID for VC leverages the simplicity and the security of the OpenID Connect and OAuth2 specifications, which means we can ideally use some existing libraries. So I know that there is probably some work needed to enable OpenID for VC support, but there's already some good basis, some solid basis to add all the additional functionality that we need for using these OpenID for verifiable credentials specifications. There's pretty active work ongoing in the OpenID Connect and OAuth community with respect to formally testing the security of the specifications. There's also ongoing work on OpenID for VC. Because we are basing the OpenID for VC specs on OpenID Connect and OAuth2 specifically, we can also achieve a pretty good degree of composability, which means, there's a lot of work that has been done in OAuth2 and also in OpenID to support different kind of flows. One example is, for example, how you securely interact between a wallet on a mobile device with an authorization server. There's like this Pixie extension. You can also use stuff like that together with the OpenID for VC family. Another example would be Depop, which people who are familiar with OAuth2 might be already familiar with. And so really the main idea is that we have existing OpenID Connect RPs that can receive these VCs. And we have existing OpenID Connect providers that can issue verifiable credentials. On this slide, it says existing RPs and existing OPs, but it really also means that completely new OPs and RPs can also participate in this game.
Sorry, Oliver, if you can go back to the previous slide, just to not to confuse people, OpenID for credential issuance and presentations are based on OAuth. So we are talking about existing OAuth relying parties and OAuth authorization servers being able to leverage, right? Oh, those are core specs. So those two are completely based on OAuth. Like, you do not need to understand OpenID Connect to be able to do that, right? So only PSYOP, the self-issued OpenID provider, which is synonymous authentication piece, is still based on Connect. Just being really clear, because, you know, that's why it's called OpenID for verifiable credentials and not OpenID Connect for verifiable credentials. So because it's fundamentally based on OAuth. Go ahead, Oliver.
Yes, thank you for these clarifications. That's an important point, yeah. So coming back to this diagram, how do all these specifications map onto the issuer holder verifier model? So first of all, on the holder side, the holder can be seen as being the digital wallet, and the holder can really be hosted either locally, can on the user's device, can have cloud components, or could be entirely hosted in the cloud. There is really no limitations, no assumptions on the deployment architecture of this system. So the interface between the issuer and the holder is covered by the OpenID for verifiable credential issuance specification. The interface between the holder and the verifier is covered by two specifications which can be independently used. First one is, I think, probably the most important one, is OpenID for verifiable presentations, which is about exchanging a credential between the holder and the verifier. And then there's also another specification, which is the self-issued OpenID Connect provider version 2 specification, which is about more like about authentication and how to log in to a verifier using EADs, for example. So coming to the OpenID for verifiable presentation spec, I'll talk first about what's the user experience of this. So it supports different flows. So fundamentally, it works on the same device. So when the verifier and the wallet is on the same device, but it also works cross-device technically. So let's focus first on the same device presentation flow, which usually starts with, the holder goes to verifier.com in the mobile browser. The verifier.com generates, has a button, user clicks on that button, user is directed, but the wallet of the user is invoked, the user authenticates to unlock the wallet or the keys, but it's really up to the issuer of the digital wallet, and then holder is asked to confirm to share the credentials. And the credentials are transmitted to the verifier, and the holder gets redirected to the browser. And basically, that's it from a user experience point of view.
Sorry, Oliver. Like, do you mind taking a couple questions right now, or do you want to do it at the end?
I'm okay with taking questions. I'm not able to monitor the queues if somebody else can do that for me.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm happy to ask some questions. Sure.
I'll monitor the queue. So, Dimitri.
Thanks. I wanted to ask a question before we got too much from the previous slides. I wanted to ask about you mentioned that people can use existing OpenID issuers, OpenID OPs, identity providers, for issuing credentials. Like, having tried to do that, at least in the JavaScript and the Node ecosystem, I find that they're not able to, right? They're like, the VCI specs introduce new parameters, new API endpoints that the existing issuers don't have. What am I doing wrong?
So first of all, it's existing OAuth 2 authorization servers. But on the other hand, what you're doing wrong, I don't think that you, I don't know what libraries you use or what authorization servers you try to extend. In principle, it works. You could augment existing authorization server. There is, however, two different metadata configurations, one for the authorization server part and one for the credential issuer part, and technically they should both work together. So I don't know what what they did wrong. We can look at that actually in more detail if you send me the concrete library what you did.
So yeah, I don't think anything is wrong, right? So again, we are reusing OAuth authorization servers, and when we'll get to the issuance part, it will be clear. But what issuance spec does, it introduces a new resource server, which you can leverage using your existing authorization server. And for existing authorization server, you can actually use it without modifications if you're using a scope parameter to identify which credentials you're requesting. Like, for example, in our implementation, we are reusing Azure Active Directory, which is an existing authorization server, which does not take any modifications because it takes billion transactions a day to issue credentials. So you add a resource server, which is a new component, which you need to add from scratch. That's true. You need to work that. But from the authorization server perspective, you can reuse that.
I see. I think I was blocked by the server I was using doesn't understand the credential definition property and some of the other properties in the request.
Yeah, so that's RAR. That's authorization details. So if you instead try to use scope, so that would need, you know, the wallet and the issuer knows that this scope stands for this credential. So you can map it back to format type, whatever you need. Once you define that, it should be more straightforward.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, that is correct. That is correct. You can use the scope parameter that should work with existing authorization servers. Okay. The next one is cross-device presentation, which is also a possibility. So in that case, the user interaction is as follows. Cross-device means a user starts with, browser on the desktop, visits the verifier. The verifier presents a QR code, which contains the authorization request. User scans the QR code with their mobile wallet or with their system camera, which then would invoke and open the digital wallet. Then again, some user is authenticated and asked to share the credentials. Then the desktop browser would then basically have a session with the verifier, and once the credentials are shared, would present some result page, essentially. So this is a more detailed overview of what the flow looks like. So the idea is that this is not a canonical example, but this is one way of using it. So the wallet and the website, the user and the website would have established already an authenticated session. And then, after login, for example, the website generates this QR code or generates the button, which contains the authorization request. Authorization request is sent to the wallet of the holder. Authorization request is passed, and the authorization response is generated and then sent to the verifier according to the supplied response type, response mode. So the basically OpenD4VP supports a number of response modes. I think we don't need to go into detail, but basically the response mode determines how the actual response is delivered to the verifier. So OpenID4VP is based on OAuth2. We learned that already. And it uses presentation exchange as the query language to draft queries to request certain credentials. And OpenID4VP defines a new authorization response parameter, which is the DP token, which, as the name suggests, contains one or more verifier representations. It really facilitates a simple OPA architecture, and it works the same device and in cross-device scenarios. And it's not limited to W3C verifiable credentials. It supports different credential formats. So what does a OpenID4VP authorization request looks like? It's very similar to two authorization requests, like authorization code authorization requests. Difference here is response type and DP token, which indicates that the verifier expects this new VP token artifact. The verifier supplies the client ID, which is already something that OAuth defines, same as redirect URI, and nonce. Presentation definition is, again, how the verifier creates those queries, and presentation exchange supports different credential formats. So on the right side, you can see a presentation definition that asks for an ID credential, and the verifier can also indicate which format is expected. In that case, a verifiable credential, data integrity proof credential with the ED25519 signature suite. The OpenID4VP response is then extended by this VP token and the presentation submission. Presentation submission is also something that is defined in the presentation exchange specification, which tells the verifier how to find the requested attributes from the presentation definition in the VP token. That sounds complicated, but basically it just means it's basically a lookup table between the presentation definition and the presentation submission, so that verifier can easily find where the requested credentials are. Next up is a self-issued OpenID Connect provider, PsyOP2, which is very similar in terms of the interaction model, in terms of the flow, but it's not about credentials. It's basically just about subject signed ID tokens. So it enables a digital wallet to become an OpenID provider in that case, that can sign an ID token with their own keys to sign into a website. Again, it's based on OpenID. ID tokens are signed with user-controlled key material. And it's also important to note that you don't need to have a third-party identity provider. And it can be combined with OpenID4VP. So OpenID4VP can really be combined with a lot of other specifications in the OAuth and OpenID universe. Last but not least, we have the OpenID for credential issuance specification, OpenID for VC, which also supports via variety of different user interactions or user experience possibilities. So it can start, so the issuer can initiate the issuance process. So in that example, we have the issuer and the digital wallet on the same device. the issue is not on the same device, but basically the browser that the user uses to visit the issuer website is on the same device as the wallet. User opens the system browser, goes to issuer.com, performs a normal OAuth2 interaction, username, password, login. At the end, then at some point, the issuer asks the user to proceed in their wallet, something like a credential offer, and then the user hits the proceed button, the wallet gets invoked, and then the wallet basically interacts with the issuer endpoints to get the credential issued and stored in the wallet. Because the wallet is also responsible for managing the keys normally. The same also works cross-device. Similar as before, the user opens a desktop browser, authenticates with the issuer, and then at the end of the flow, there might be a QR code. And along with the QR code, there might be an out-of-band PIN that is transmitted to the user. It could be by email, it could be by text message. The PIN is also like optional. Then the user scans the QR code, which contains the credential offer usually, and then enters the PIN that was transmitted out of band. If there was an out of band PIN transmitted, obviously only, and then the wallet interacts with the issuer endpoints and receives the credential again. The same, this also works, obviously, if during the presentation flow, you can combine the issuance flow with the presentation flow. For example, you can collect additional evidence. You can do additional evidence verification during the OpenID for VCI flow using OpenID for EP, for instance, and other things. Let me see if I can. Yeah, this is a more detailed view of the interaction between the issuer and the wallet and the website. It really works via the credential issuance is really based on an OAuth2 model. Like Christina already mentioned before, you get an access token, and that access token is used with a new resource endpoint, which is the credential endpoint. And the credential endpoint expects a credential request, which I can show you later on. But I think fundamentally it works like the wallet obtains an authorization request and authenticates basically gets the access token from the issuer and an optional refresh token, and can then use the access token to get access to the credential endpoint to get the actual credential issued. And on the right side, it just demonstrates that at certain parts, at certain steps, OpenID for VP can be also used in that flow. Design principles of OpenID for VCI, issuance is again based on an OAuth protected credential endpoint. We have two different authorization flows that are possible. One is the normal code flow, which people are familiar with, from the OAuth universe. It doesn't mean that all the clients have to be pre-registered, by the way. Client pre-registration is not needed, especially since we have Then we have the pre-authorized code flow, which is a new grant type that was introduced in the OpenID for VCI spec. Specifically useful in in-person provisioning scenarios. You know, when you walk into a field office, for example, do in-person entity verification, at the end of the flow, you get the QR code and a PIN, and then you continue the flow in the wallet to obtain the credentials. Also, the idea is to support different types of proof of possession of the key material to bind the credentials. So if it's needed to have anti-cloning protection of the credential, it's usually useful to bind that credential to a key. And OpenFV for VC supports different proof of possession types. One is, I can show you later how this looks like. This is a OpenID for VC authorization request. There is really nothing that is non-OAuth2 compliant. So even like to Dimitri's point from earlier, this is the way how you could formulate an authorization request based on the scope parameter. In that case, code change method is borrowed from the Pixie OAuth2 extensions, which is, you know, it's not mandatory, but it just demonstrates that you can combine it with other OAuth2 extensions and flows as well. So that was the authorization request. So at the end of the authorization request, you get the authorization code. The authorization code is then used with the token endpoint to get an access token and an optional refresh token. And that access token is then used with the credential endpoint, which is a resource endpoint introduced by the OpenID for VCI spec. In the same way that, user info is a resource endpoint introduced by the OpenID Connect core spec, which, you know, you don't need to use that. But basically, the idea is that you use the access token with the credential endpoint, and the OpenID for VCI spec defines what this credential request should look like. You would specify what format you would expect. So in that case, LEPVC stands for W3C verifiable credentials with data integrity proofs. You would also provide this proof of possession proof parameter, which has an extension point. Proof type is an extension point which allows for different proof of possession types. In that case, we use a JWT envelope to prove possession of a key using the JSON web tokens. But anything else is also possible. In fact, in our Bitbucket in the OpenID repository, we do have open pull requests to add support for LDP proof types, so that's also possible. Or CWTs. The response of the credential endpoint is then the credential. Not a big surprise, I guess. Maybe one thing to note is that the JWT should also sign over a server nonce, which is also provided by the credential endpoint in case no server nonce was provided in the request. This is something I don't really need to talk about a lot in this community. This is a credential. This is basically, regarding the identifiers that OpenID for VC supports, it's really like any DID method can be combined with any DID method. Can be even combined with JWT thumbprints. Any credential format is supported. We saw examples in using LDP VCs or short VCs. Spruce is currently hosting an interoperability event in ISO with ISO members to show to demonstrate support of OpenMedi for VP with ISO MDL or MDocs. Obviously, it supports any revocation mechanism, any additional class mechanisms, also any, you know, any crypto suits. there's a long list of people, who support, the OpenMedi for VC specifications. Was also demonstrated at certain events like GFF Plugfest number 2, and I believe in also GFF Plugfest number 3. We have this, interop event in ISO, and so on. What's the current status of the specifications? So OpenMedi for VP, we have implementers draft 2, PsyOP 2 is implementers draft 1. OpenMedi for VC, this is being implemented by a number of parties. What's also news is that the OpenMedi Foundation, we now have the Digital Credential Protocol Working Group approved, which will specifically deal with specifications in the issuer holder verifier model use case universe. There's also work ongoing on OpenMedi for VC for high assurance use cases, and again, already mentioned that there is a test event that we are hosting as Bruce with together with ISO members because ISO 18013 part 7 defines protocols for online presentation of MDocs, and OpenMedi for VP is one of the options. I think I heard some ring tone, which typically means somebody has a question, so please go on.
Yes, Ori, please.
So DCP working group at OpenMedi Foundation, I think in the previous slide you mentioned, some of these OpenMedi Foundation protocols already support CBOR and compact credential formats, so they're not attached to just JSON and base64 URL encoded credential formats. Is that correct?
Yeah, so the OpenMedi for VCI protocol supports, for example, CWT proofs for proof of possession, and general OpenMedi for VP and OpenMedi for VCI works with any kind of credential formats. That includes proof types. And again, so we demonstrated that it's possible to use it with anoncrets, with MDocs, with short VCs, LDP VCs. There's right. No reason. And MDocs are basically CBOR encoded structures.
But my question specific to the DCP working group, meaning that there will be protocol work on non-JSON represented credential formats at that working group, right?
So in DCP working group, we will be working on OpenMedi for fiber credentials protocols that, the three that Oliver talked about. And also we have additional three documents being contributed, security analysis, user info profile for DMA Act, and the BLE part. They are all agnostic for credential format. And yes, they will support the CBOR-based binary format as well.
And in terms of the protocols that are being built there, are they limited to mobile wallets only, or is there room in there for cloud identity, service agent, workload identity, cases where you have a credential holder that isn't a human and doesn't have a mobile phone?
Yeah, so as Oliver mentioned, nothing from a protocol perspective limits the wallet to be a native app or like the mobile wallet. So yeah, we do support the protocol itself does support the wallets with the backend, the cloud component or browser-based wallets. I think that's slightly different from where you're going at, which is kind of more server-to-server, organization word to organization server kind of presentation. So, well, technically, because if you're using an OWASP grant that does that, you can already do that. But we have received recently increasing number of inquiries. How can people do this organization to organization kind of scenario? So we will be looking into that more.
Yeah, and also I think in general OpenID has a track record of also like server-to-server communication. There are some protocols already defined that can do that. Not in the OpenID for VC universe, but yeah. So there's, in my opinion, if you ask me, then there is no reason why not, why we can't do that, actually. I would be supportive. All right. Yeah, so this is, I don't know if this is still...
Was Dmitry on the queue? Did I see Dmitry?
Oh, yeah.
Hmm. PQ minus. Sorry, Oliver.
Yeah, I took myself off the queue. Although, could you drop the URL to the Whimsy spec? Thanks.
Sorry? Can I repeat that again?
If anybody has the URL to the Whimsy spec handy, the one that Ori was mentioning, and thank you.
Okay. Yeah, so if you are curious, about the OpenID for VP, or OpenID for VC, then you could also check out the white paper that is, available on the OpenID website. There's also a blog post. The white paper was published 1 year ago. So, I guess, it won't have the latest references, but I think it still provides a solid basis to understand the concepts and why we decided to build those protocols on top of OAuth and so on. I guess this is it. Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting more implementations. I think everybody is... encouraged to join the working group calls. They are public. Also, the specifications are developed in the open. We still use Bitbucket, but that might change for certain things. Yeah, thanks a lot for giving me the opportunity to present. If you have any questions, please.
Thank you, Oliver.
Christine. We are changing to GitHub this Thursday, so you will have no more excuses not to join. But yeah, no, you don't have to be an OpenID Foundation member to join the working group, actually. As long as you sign an IPR agreement, you can join the calls right away. Yeah, so if anyone's interested, the barrier to just call in and listening to the call is... relatively low. You need to be a member if you, once we go to implementers drafts and you want to vote on specification, that's when you need a membership.
And Christina, just to clarify, earlier you mentioned that there's a new working group form. Is that the Digital Credentials Protocol Working Group, or is it something else?
Yeah. Correct, yeah. So we were doing all this work under the OpenID Connect working group in OpenID Foundation until this point, but as you can see, it's not Connect really. It's based on all of us, but it's still about identity. So yeah, we have a dedicated working group to this, and that will be using GitHub, which we're all really excited about.
Thank you.
All right.
And I think Ori has a question. Is it a paid membership like W3C or free to participate for the OpenID working group?
Yeah, I think Christina just mentioned that. You would need to be a member in order to have voting rights and that stuff, but it's free to participate, right, Christina?
Yeah, so if your goal is to be able to comment on the issues, do the PRs, approve reject PRs, based on, you know, in an IPR protected manner, OpenID Foundation does not require the membership. So you can do that, you know, as long as you sign the IPR and you tell us that there are no, you know, no IPR concerns, basically. That's what we most care about. obviously organizational membership is appreciated, but that's more if you want to vote or have a say in where the organization is going, like how budget is being spent, whatnot. Like for spec writing, you don't need membership.
And it's also worth to point out that the individual membership is really cheap. I think it's about $50 per year.
You're right, it's 50.
All right, any other questions? So this is a relatively a newbie question, but I know that there are multiple different kind of protocols or competing standards, right? Like OpenID, right? VC, like we're seeing here, and there's the GitHub, and there's VC APIs and things like that. I know the OpenID. My impression is that OpenID is the most popular. It has the most adoptions right now. But I'm just curious, what are the kind of pros and cons, and what situations which standards or protocols makes more sense? What are the kind of the trade-offs?
So you already pointed out that that OpenID for VC is getting a lot of traction recently and also adoption. So I think one very prominent example would be the architecture reference framework of the IDAS 2 expert group that basically requires OpenID for VCI and OpenID for AP for a lot of cases. It's basically this and ISO MDL. And so, but basically the in ISO 18013 part 7, we also see that OpenID for AP got traction, and then there's also other places. OpenID for AP and VCI, I think one of the biggest strengths is simplicity. And I think I had this in one of my really early slides today, where we talked about the design principles and why we are using this. It's, composability with existing OAuth 2 and OpenID Connect specifications. You have security audits that are done on a ongoing basis, and I think there are some people who queued up. I could hear some ring tones.
Ori, you want to go next?
I'm gonna duck the defend your favorite protocol war bait, but I wanted to ask regarding presentation exchange as a component in OpenID Connect family specifications. What is the sort of OpenID Foundation view of presentation exchange from GIF? Is that specification stable enough to build on? Should it go to IETF? Should it grow up more at GIF? Should it move to OpenID Foundation? Just because, as far as I'm aware, this is the first time anything in the OpenID ecosystem has taken a dependency on a specification that wasn't developed at IETF or another reputable standards organization. So I'm interested in the OpenID Foundation's view of presentation exchange as a dependency mandatory to support sort of sub-specification. That's it.
Or decided to substitute one tricky question with another one, yeah? Okay. So everything you say is correct. But right now we have resumed closely working with the GIF PE editors. We had a couple of calls. So we had a couple of remaining concerns. So one was security. So regex, you know, JSON schema and allowing anything pretty much like around that. So there are good conversations happening around, you know, maybe, you know, prohibiting the usage of regex and JSON pass, for example. So that conversation is ongoing. Another part is, yeah, so I think right now the plan is to, yeah, try to work with the presentation exchange editors working group to get the specification to a really stable, reliable state, which gives those minimum functionalities. And what we do observe is, so because the OpenID4VC protocols allow, you know, extensibility points, you need a profile, right? Like, for example, the ISO-MDL, like, they have a clear-cut profile to say this is the credential format, this are identifiers, these are crypto suites, whatnot, right? When people do that, they tend to add requirements on top of presentation exchange. Like, for example, the MDocs folks did add certain, like, okay, this identifier has to be a doc type, or, like, this, you know, should be this. So that's what we observe realistically.
Sorry to interrupt you. Yeah, the MDoc people really locked down the presentation exchange, presentation definition, and, sorry, there's some background noise. Anyways.
Yeah, and to sort of quickly build up on the previous question, right? I think, yeah, as much as, yes, you probably need some additional work on top of your existing authorization servers, there is a very well-formed ecosystem. So I think that kind of people willing to leverage existing knowledge, existing infrastructure has been kind of a good pushing for us so far.
All right. Any other questions? Or comments?
I've got a question. What's the current state of the art thinking in the OpenID for VC and VP groups in terms of wallet selection? Like, I remember there was some talk about maybe working on a wallet selector, or yeah, like what's the latest thinking?
Good question. Yeah, I mean, there's obviously a few different options. How this can be done, doing it in a reliable fashion is challenging, as you all know. I think I saw people, I mean, as you know, you can use a static set of wallet metadata configuration down to a specific custom URL scheme. That's what the MDoc people do. That's what we even have in the OpenID Connect, OpenID for VIP specification for any sort of credentials. And you can do it based on app links, universal links. I think there's some ongoing conversations on wallet selections across the board. You know, there's obviously people in the FedCM world, there's people who propose the MDoc API. There's like a lot of people talking about wallet selection by the browser. I also saw that there was a proposal how to do wallet selection using Chappie and OpenID4VP. Technically, there's really no real limitation in what you can use to supply the authorization request to the digital wallet as long as it is secure.
Yeah, so Dmitry, I we haven't invented a wallet selector yet. I think two things that's happening is, one is kind of negotiations with the browser vendors, and I think there'll be some conversation about TPAC in a few weeks, where we are trying to make sure that if there is a wallet selector provided by, you know, browser vendors, whatnot, it should, you know, work for different protocols and not just the, you know, API. So that ability to have a nice wallet selection does not lock you into the, you know, API provided by the browsers. I think that's one side of conversations.
Thank you. That's huge.
Yeah, no, like we need all your help, like to do that, because right now the direction is, oh, you want a wallet selector? Now you're forced to use this API. So we don't want that, right? So I think that's kind of where all your help is appreciated. Another side of conversation is the wallet attestation, recent conversation. So I think as the different ecosystem matures, they're starting to think about how do we, you know, make sure that the, you know, reliable, trustable, good wallet. So I think one pattern we're starting to see is, or at least direction we're thinking of, is the wallet may be registered as a general kind of custom URL scheme, but the wallet will have to send the wallet attestation to get the actual request object for the verifier, for example. So the malicious wallet might be able to, you know, stir the flow, but they won't be able to get the actual request and continue. So those kind of mechanisms.
Thanks. I know we're almost at the top of the hour, but Ori is asking in chat if you could say a few more words about the MDoc request API. Oliver mentioned that there's some sort of custom UI. Can you say a little more about that? How does MDoc deal with wallet selection / invocation?
It's inexistent yet, right? So okay. What's in the ISO standard right now is basically the profile of OpenID for VC, right? So have been talking about is true. At the same time, like browsers are trying to leverage that forum to, you know, give like, look, here's an API. So I think there's some first versions of those APIs for, you know, different companies are building, but they're not standardized yet. That work to standardize those is, you know, about to be happen in W3C if everything like, you know, goes.
Thanks.
Yes, so the idea is that the browser API for MDocs is not going to be standardized in ISO. It's going to be standardized in W3C. And, yeah.
All right, thank you. I think we're at time. Just want to say thank you, Oliver. Thank you, Christina, for coming here and answering our spicy and tough questions. Oliver and Christina has mentioned earlier, there's a new working group form on digital credentials protocol. I'll resend the link right here. The meeting is at every other Thursday at 2 o'clock UTC. Is that correct? Or?
It's every Thursday. It's every Thursday.
Every Thursday.
Yeah, it's just the time changes by hour, but we don't know how, I think, at least one of the new DCP working group calls will be Thursday. I think it's 4 p.m. German time, 8 a.m. or 7 a.m. Pacific. But we do have requests for APAC folks, so we might do something like a rotating calls like VC working group does. So we'll see.
Got it. All right. Thank you. Thanks a lot. All right. This concludes today's. Paul, you have any last comment? Oh, maybe he misclicked. All right, this concludes this week's meeting. So thanks a lot.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Thanks, Oliver.